Praise God. Amen. Won't you give the Lord a clap offering of praise today? I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 for just a little while. Someone has made the statement, and I agree with it wholeheartedly, that the church of Jesus Christ today, that's the church, not just this church or a particular denomination, but the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. The church lives below her privilege of power. The church is weak and anemic because she lives below her privilege of power. I'm going to say that again. The church, how do you know if the church is weak and anemic? Because we have to subsidize the absence of the presence and power of God with programs to keep people interested enough to even show up. We have to have celebrities come in. Celebrity preachers, celebrity singers. The pastor is more of a MC, kind of a sanctified MC who is the master of all the various ceremonies, but the ceremonies, not the Word of God, the presence of God, or the power of God. And there are people today sitting in churches where there is no conviction. They can sit there happily, comfortably, without really getting right with God. And they live their life in that self-deluded satisfaction. I went to church Sunday, I must be okay. Until they need an answer from God. Something man can't handle and they can't handle. And when you need a miracle, you need to be right with God. Hate to break this to you, but it was common knowledge when Jesus came on the scene. For we know, they said, God heareth not sinners. The prayer he hears from a sinner is, forgive me my sin and save me. He always hears that prayer. But to live in sin and to live without a fellowship relationship with him. And by the way, without dealing effectively with sin, you can't have fellowship with the Holy God. Amen. Two can't walk together unless they agree. Amen? And God will never agree with sin in our life. He will never look over it in order to bless us or to answer a prayer. So it was common knowledge when Jesus came. For we know, this was common knowledge. It was a given. God heareth not sinners, but if anyone be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. We've kind of made faith the do-all. We put faith out before faithfulness. We put faith out. If I just build my faith strong enough, I can get everything I need from God and everything I want from God. Amen. Before your faith even goes into action, your heart becomes the supreme issue in your relationship with God. Let me tell you something about your heart today. I'm going to give you a diagnosis of your human heart. Our human heart, without regeneration and the renewing of the mind. The heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. And not only is it desperately wicked, it's deceitful. That's why truth has to get in there. Because we can deceive ourselves into thinking we're right when we're wrong. We're okay when we're not. Amen? But the Word of God is designed to get in to our heart and not just our head. The Bible said the Word of God is God-breathed. That is God, the Word of God is given by the inspiration. That word inspiration is the word for breath. The only reason you can hear me is because air is passing over my vocal cords, and that's what's making the sound. And God's very breath, there's life. His word is spirit. My words are not like anybody else's words in the entire world. My word is spirit, he said, and life. Can you say, man? All Scripture, every bit of it is given by the breath of God. God breathed on man and made him alive because there's life. Hallelujah. There's life. There's life in this thing. Praise God. And it's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof and rebuke and correction and instruction in righteousness, how to be right with God, so that the man of God might be fully furnished unto every good work. Can you say amen? In other words, God cleans us so he can use us. We're getting next to something he's done got a handle on, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Sponge John has already soaked this in today. Let's rest of us soak it in. Amen. Who God calls,
he cleanses.
And whom he cleanses,
he uses.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whom? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Whom God calls. Whom God calls. Whom God calls, he cleanses. In a great house, the scriptures declare there are many vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. Can you say amen? Some are of gold and of silver, and some of wood and clay. And the Bible said if we would listen, flee youthful lust, youthful passions. When you become a Christian, God wants you to outgrow those things that tripped you up before you became a Christian. You defeat those things by maturing, by growing in God. And you can't grow by immediately bypassing the growing process and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It won't work. I know tongue-talking people that have grown old, but never grew up. Their feelings are on their shoulders. Be careful, you're walking on eggs to have a relationship with them. They'll love you one day and quit you the next day. They do. It's a fact of life. Come on, you can't hang around church and not be authentic about the reality of it. They'll love you in tongue, and then they won't call you for a month. Don't care if you live, die, or what, sick. That they never grow up. So you're to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. How do you know if you're growing? Way you think and the way you speak. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. You've got to be renewed in where? The spirit of your mind. And not only did I think as a child, I spake as a child. When you think as a child, I call it stinking thinking. Somebody came to a pastor one day and he says to the pastor, he said, Pastor, the devil, see, here's stinking thinking and here's wrong speaking. The devil has been telling me that I'm not saved, that I'm not a Christian, and the devil has been telling me that God doesn't love me and God is not going to answer my prayer. The devil has been telling me all week long that I'm no good and good for nothing. I should just give up and go back. Have you got a word for me? And he said, yes, I do. Quit listening to the devil. Pretty clear, isn't it? How is it that we can hear the devil so clearly and we can't hear what God's saying at all? Stinking thinking. My dad got into some senility before he passed away. Actually, he got pretty deep in senility. And I was around him every day. And I had to deprogram him. Part of my day was deprogramming his mind from things that he was thinking wrong about God. And he watched a television program, Call In, where people were testifying to answered prayer. And he had some prayers that hadn't been answered in the timing or the way he thought they should be. So I walked in. He said, Bobby, he said, God don't like old people. I said, Dad, what are you talking about? He said, God just don't like old people. He's answering all these young people's prayers. I said, Dad, I said, that's not true. God, in fact, You know, he does special things as we age. There's even scripture about treating people that are aging with a special grace. So I'm getting up there into that special grace area. Fist bump. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Taylor. We're getting up there where we need God to hold us up. Sometimes we need him to pick us up. Praise God. Amen. But one thing for sure, we're leaning on him. We're not leaning on our own flesh and our own strength anymore. And I would have to deprogram him. Oh, the devil's telling me I'm not saved. Well, did you get saved? Yes. Do you want to stay saved? Do you want to keep, you want to go to heaven? Is your eyes on Jesus? Absolutely. Then that's a lie. That's a lie. We got to outgrow that. See, my dad went to church. And I'm not saying this critically, but factually, he went to church because he could play his instrument. There's a danger to gospel singers. There are gospel singers that sung all over the place, but they never met Jesus. They sung the gospel. One of the, what is it? There's a singing group. They've been singing for 40 years for Jesus. And one of the guy that played the guitar for them, a black man, is the Sensational Nightingales, I think it was. Anyway, one of the men that played the guitar, he said his mama prayed for him all that time that he would get saved. He was singing the gospel in churches all over America, putting out Christian albums, but he wasn't walking with God. And on her deathbed, she told him, said, "Son, it's as easy to sing a lie as it is to say a lie." And it stuck with him. And he stood just before he sang again, and I played it here for you, his testimony and his song. Amen. Hallelujah. When he really found Jesus and he started walking in the truth, he said, "Mama, I want you to know that I'm going to be at the meeting. Amen. I've met the Lord. It's real in my life now. I'm not just saying words or singing words. This is something that's really real within me." Hallelujah. Praise God. When it really, really gets real, it changes everything. Now, I want you to listen to scripture. What did I say it was going to be about? It's still about that. Perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. Pray, walking in fearless love is the basis for all boldness because it is the basis for intimacy with God. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus and you have an intimate relationship with God, perfect love does what? Perfect love casteth out all fear. The word fear in the Latin, do you know what it means in the Latin? The word worry, which is an outworking of fear. You can't, and I can't worry unless there is a fear present. You can't be fearless and worry. You say, "I'm worried about this." Well, cast 1 Peter 5:7. Write it down. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all of your care. I love the amplified of that. Casting all of your care. All of it. All of it. Not just the parts you think that you just can't give to God. Casting all of your care. Once and for all. Upon the Lord. Because he cares for you. Everybody say, perfect love does what? Casteth out all fear. Casting all of your care, the whole of your anxiety. The whole of it. Every bit of it. You see, we give God certain things, but there's certain things that we feel are too important. We have to hold them. I remember when I gave my son to the Lord. You know, when I gave my son to the Lord, I didn't quit praying for him. I just prayed without the burden of worry and anxiety. I prayed in faith because I wasn't tore up from the floor up over him anymore. How many know the devil will worry you down, make you weary with worry? He will deflate your prayers because you are so concerned about the situation you can't believe in your heart that God has it. How do you know that I don't believe in my heart? Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you are always desperate for an answer, you are not dependent on God. Thank you for the hearty amens. How can you be dependent on God and desperate as if, oh God, if you don't do something? If he doesn't do something, how did that get in the mix? Doubt and fear. Come on, let's get real about this thing. Doubt and fear. In the Latin, worry and fear, they're interlocked because they go together. You can't separate one from the other. It was a word used when a wolf seized a sheep by the throat and strangled. He didn't initially pierce the throat to bleed it out. He knew when it goes unconscious, it won't fight anymore. I'll strangle it. And when it passes out, I can go ahead with my kill and go ahead and feast on this carcass of this dead animal. It strangles. Let me tell you what happens to the Word of God in your life that you've been getting by the bucketfuls. In fact, we use a bushel bucket around here. Can you say amen? Every Sunday, you don't get a little dabble, do you? I'm not a Brill Cream preacher. You know why? Because a little... How many remember Brill Cream? I know you don't know nothing about no Brill Cream. Can you say amen? But you remember the Brill Cream commercial? I couldn't get over it because I hadn't latched on to my woman yet. And Brill Cream, you could put it on your hair. It's kind of it was a white cream, and it was Brill Cream, and it's slick you down, brother. Amen. You get slick. White man with Brill Cream, he's slick. He used to have a Jerry Curl, I think, and he used something else. No, did you ever have a Jerry Curl? Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry, I messed that up. Brill Cream. Remember the commercial? You know what the commercial was? Brill Cream. A little dabble, do you? Brill Cream. You look so debonair. I don't even know what debonair means, but sounds good to me. Can you say, what does debonair mean? Cool? Is it cool? Sounded cool to me. Brill Cream. A little dabble, do you? Brill Cream. You look so debonair. Brill Cream. I love this part. The gals will all pursue ya. They'll want to get their fingers in your hair. No, they wouldn't. It's greasy, man. You'd have to get a handkerchief and wipe your hands after putting your... And besides, a man with Brill Cream don't want you messing with his dew. It's that Brill Cream holding it in place. Hallelujah. We've got churches today that are little dab will do you. They can't possibly grow up. You know why? They're not challenged. They can't be changed. And they're happy where they are. Their biggest concern is that at 12 sharp, it's over. There's no desire. There's no, and Pentecostalism doesn't have a corner on desire. Because if you have a Bible study among Pentecostals where Jesus did what he did when he gave the Beatitudes, the Bible said he sat down. Can you imagine in a Pentecostal gathering if the preacher just sat down and taught them? But we need teaching. Because you can't grow. You can't grow by talking in tongues more, getting more visions and dreams and revelations. You only grow in Christ's character by the Word of God. Desire. Desire. Desire is what brings you to Bible study. Sunday morning religion brings you to church for the Sunday morning service. I mean, it's pretty neat in many churches. The choir has got beautiful robes, and they're going to sing really something to titillate your emotions. You're going to feel good when they're done singing. But whether you be good when you walk out is a whole other story. You're going to get a feel-good message. There's a felt need message that meet my felt needs. Tell me that God is going to take care of all the things that I feel I need. And churches will actually fill with people for that 1 hour. 1 hour. 1 hour. Get it on, get it done, and get me out of here. Get me blessed and get me home, because I got things to do. The desire for the Word of God. You can have a gift ministry, someone with a particular, peculiar gift, and they will line up and stay till 1 a.m. to receive the benefit and blessing of that gift. But if you call a Bible study, they don't want to stay 30 minutes. You can't hardly get people. We were the Holy Church of God at one point, we used the balcony. We filled up both parking lots and had to use the balcony. I had a pastor's teaching class before the service. Well, they knew I wasn't going to run the aisle. They knew that I wasn't going to do a backflip. I never did a backflip, but I could have done a backflip. They knew that I wasn't going to preach while I was teaching under such a heavy anointing that someone's just getting my overflow. They knew I wasn't going to lay hands and prophesy over anybody during that service. I was going to teach the Word of God. And guess what? In a Pentecostal situation, no one wanted to come to be taught. No one wanted to come to be taught. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And why are people perishing? Are they perishing for a lack of enthusiasm? We had a guy come in. They thought it was revival. I knew it wasn't because of his message. It was a victorious message. I still remember the part of it that made everybody stand up and shout glory. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you. I got my double barrel shotgun loaded with Holy Ghost buckshot, and I'm going to let the devil have it with both barrels. Woo! That is exciting, I must say. But what did you learn about spiritual warfare? What did you learn about what pleases God and how to overcome and how to pray effectively? What did you know when you went out that you didn't know when you came in? Amen, and then people tried to do what others did without knowledge and understanding, without maturity. Told this story, but it's worth telling again because I'm Pentecostal from my head to my foot, but I know the value and the place of the Word of God. And I know there's nothing that can replace the Word of God. Can you say amen? And I know you can't grow by falling out. You can't go by being prophesied over or prophesying to someone. You can't grow by talking in tongues all night long. You can't grow one iota through any. You can't grow by receiving a revelation. In fact, you can't even check out the revelation to see if it's God or not. Unless you're deep in the Word of God. And the Word of God is deep inside of you. Can you say amen? And without growth, we stay spiritual children. Spiritual children. Be careful around spiritual children, because they come in all shapes and sizes. Some of them got black hair, some of them got white hair. But you'll find out pretty quick. Amen. Cross one of those. In any way, just disagree over something and watch what happens. Anybody remember the game Hot Potato? That was back before Nintendo. You put potatoes in a fire. Everybody bring a potato from the house, sneak in and grab a potato and take it out to a fire. And you build it like a bonfire. First, before you light the fire, you put the potatoes underneath where the fire is going to burn. Fire burns down, the potatoes are baking in the sand. Oh, after the fire is burned way down, you push the fire aside, reach in and grab one of them hot baked potatoes. We're going to have ourselves a baked potato. But before, we're going to have a game. Everybody brought a potato line up. Oh, we had fun in them days. You had to make your fun. Can you say, man? Say, our pastor used to play with potatoes. I'm going to give more in the offering. He's had a hard life. Can you say, man? What did you grow up playing with? Taters. And then we eat them after they cooled off. But since they were too hot to eat, we played a game called, has anybody ever heard the term hot potato? You heard it. Maybe it was just a white person's game. I don't know. There were some poor white folk, too. And I was one of them. Can you say amen? Country folks' game. Yes, sir. So everybody brought a potato, get in a circle. You get the first potato out. It's too hot to eat. So we're going to have a game here. You grab it, you can't hold it but a second. You throw it to the next person. They grab it, they can't hold it. They throw it to the next person. Oh, what fun we had. Hot potato. Hot potato is going around and around until till you can hold on to it. And then it's eat the potato. And then we can get them all out and we can eat them. Amen. There are people that will drop you and me like a hot potato and never look back. But they talk in tongues. They prophesy. They praise God with loud voices on Sunday. They're not desirous of the word. They'd rather shout than learn. They don't even know why they're shouting. In fact, the best service they will ever tell you about. I remember a guy that was just getting him in church, and his wife and daughter came. He came to church, and he said, Brother Venable, he said, what did you preach about last Sunday? And I told him what the subject matter was. He said, so that's what you preached. He said, well, my wife and my daughter came home. They were so excited. And they said, man, you should have been there Sunday. God moved. You should have been there. Brother Venable took off. He ran around that building two times. Sister Hoopendicker got up and the Spirit of the Lord hit her and she shouted all over that floor. And Brother Hockendocker, you should have seen him shout. Can you say amen? And you know what? He just waited because he knew they were emotionally high. And they were going to have to come down off of that emotional high. And he said, well, what did he preach on? And one of them said, didn't he say something out of Matthew, wasn't it? She said, no, I think it was out of John. And they said, no. You know, I think it started in the Old Testament. And after a while, they had to admit they had no clue. But they had such a glorious time at church. Oh, hallelujah. I got my double barrel. I'm sitting back and I'm saying, wow, look at these excited people. Look at the enthusiasm. This guy has come in and really stirred them up. But when this guy walks out that door, it's going to be the same old, same old. Because without the Word of God getting down in the good ground of your heart, there is no fruit in your life. Can you say amen? And you stay a spiritual child. And people get up on Sunday morning. They have no commitment to any pastor, any church. They just go where they... And I get tired of hearing this, and I hear it constantly. I just go where the Lord leads me. And you know what He leads them to? He leads them to... A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and not too much of nothing. I'm just going where I can get the best blessing for me. You see, when you think as a child is not interested in you. I hate to break it to you. But this Christmas, children are not interested in honoring their father and mother and finding a way to bless them. They're interested in what did you get me? Can you say, man? It's the Santa Claus syndrome, but it's in the Church of Jesus Christ today. What is God going to do for me instead of what can I do for the Lord? Let me show you how maturity works. Pastor said that, told this true story not too many years ago. He said, we're in a whole different church age and church culture now. We're in a culture of people wanting to be served instead of to serve God. So make sure that the church has all kinds of programs to serve the people emotionally, physically, not spiritually. So he said, a family in our church said, we built a new sanctuary, but we had our old baby grand piano. And it wouldn't stay tuned anymore. Something about the humidity had somehow or another, they couldn't hardly keep it in tune. And he said, he told the congregation, we're praying that God will make a way. We've expended everything just to get the roof on this place. We need a new piano for our worship. So a couple came to him a week later, and they said, "Pastor, we have a grand piano, the full Liberace size Elton John piano." Amen. And he said, "We have one, and it is in perfect condition. But we are retired, and music is such a part of my life and my wife's life. She loves to play. So we ordered a brand new baby grand piano. And they were supposed to deliver it next week. And we prayed about that thing. And the preacher thought, oh boy, they're going to give us their old baby grand in perfect condition." But you know what they said that so shocked him? That was such a shock. They said, "We told them, since we got such a good used piano, we want to give the best to God. Take that new piano that we ordered to our house. We're going to pay for it. Just send it." And gave him the address to the church. Said, "You be sure and be there, because they're delivering you a brand new baby grand." What? God? God is put before me and my need? God gets the first fruit of my increase, not the leftovers? It's a matter of honor. Honor the Lord, the scripture says, with what? What's left after you get all you can handle and hold. Honor Him, because you can't honor Him any other way. God is great. Greatly to be praised. But when we give Him our leftovers, we're in Malachi 1. Malachi 1. Malachi 1. After my partying is over, then God can have some time for me, from me. But not until I'm done with my fun. This pastor said, in this consumer-driven culture, the me generation, sociologists has called our generation an hedonistic generation. Not coming from a preacher, it's coming from sociologists looking at the culture. Hedonism, you know what that is? That pleasuring oneself. Pleasure is the chief end of your existence. They even have cruises, and I wouldn't want to be on the boat personally. And it's called hedonism. Two or hedonism one. Everybody on that boat is there to get drunk and have fun. That's it. And fun in the culture and in the world means all kind of people that are looking for a sexual liaison for that trip is going to find it on the hedonism cruise, because it's all about my pleasure. And when we try to take that attitude that is damning souls into the church and into sermons, instead of encouraging people in right living, we encourage them to keep on going down the road that leads to destruction, because there is a way, Brother Taylor, that seems right to a man. There's a country song about that way. Anything that feels this good can't be bad. Oh, honey, there's a whole lot of things that feel good that turn out bad. They just had about 63 people down in South America. Was it 63, 50? A huge amount of people died. You know why they died? Because the prisoners had a big prison break thing. They didn't leave the prison. They broke into the medical area of the prison. And they grabbed every pill and drug they could find and consumed it. Everything they could find. Stuff for diabetes, stuff for high blood pressure, everything. Not just the nerve stuff, but all the other stuff. And they consumed it, and there's over 50 of them dead. And several in critical condition. Why? Because they wanted to get high so bad. They wanted to feel good so bad. They just grabbed pills and washed it down. a one-way trip. AC/DC wrote a song, "I'm on a highway to hell. Don't try to turn me around." Well, it's my job to try to turn people around that are on the highway to hell. Can you say amen? If you're on the highway to hell, amen, you're not going to find a parking lot here on the way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't just park it here on your way to hell and not be convicted and not be challenged and not be told the truth about that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to see people walking up the King's Highway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, church, it's we don't feed childishness. If you don't want to follow Jesus, if you don't value him enough to follow him, you're going to end up quitting him in spite of all I can say and all I can do. But if you ever grow up, you'll begin to love him. You'll begin to appreciate him. And you'll get a heart attitude that says, no matter what, I'll never go back. Because he'll give you the oil, he will give you the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. You grow up, you appreciate what he's done for you. You can't help but praise him for it. Amen. He'll change your attire. The Bible said he'll give you beauty for ashes. That's when he saves you. Your life is ruined. And you're a firebrand plucked out of the fire. The wrath of God was set on you. Amen. And your destiny was set until he came and you responded. And he called you out of darkness into what? Into some humdrum, half-baked, amen, church life. No, he called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Do you want to go back where you remember where you were before he began? You remember the condition you were in spiritually and physically? Do you remember where you were headed and what the devil would have done when it ran its course? But he called you out of that blindness and that deception into this what, Brother Taylor? Marvelous! Woo-hoo! Everybody say woo-hoo light. Sometimes amen just don't cut it. Sometimes when you really see it, you say, woohoo! Woo! Why'd you do that? Because I felt like it. And I'm in a church where they won't throw me out. Amen. Well, you haven't yet. Let's put it that way. Brother Rumble, that's emotionalism. I don't apologize for still having emotion. In fact, I think you have it. I think if someone gets your parking space after you've waited for 10 minutes driving around for it, that you're going to feel that emotion. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and gives you the bad finger, and it's their fault. Oh, you have no emotions, though. I forgot. I'm not into emotionalism. Someone walks up to your door and says, "You didn't know it, but I bought you a lotto ticket at work. And it just came in. And it was for..." Yeah. Oh, emotions begin to come out. Woohoo! $50 million, we're going to split it between us. I bought it, I give it to you, we're going to split it. It's the only right thing to do. Well, if you really want to give it to me, you know, it'll be okay, I guess. If you want to keep it for yourself, I guess that'd be okay too. I really not given to emotion. Sure you are. Gladness is an emotion. And you're to serve God with that emotion kicking in. He hath made me glad. He will give you the garment of praise. He will give you beauty for ashes. Make no mistake about it. You were a hell-bound person until he called you and you responded. And now you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. And you have God's commitment to never leave you, to be with you through the whole trip, all the way from this world to that world. So what happens when he gives you beauty for ashes? If you see what you really have, he gives you the garment of praise for that old I can't help but think of little Abner. I don't know who it was, but it's somebody in the funny papers. I know you're too spiritual to ever read the funnies, but I used to read. I just don't have time for the funnies. Besides, they're not as funny to me. Funnies aren't that funny to me. They're too sophisticated humor. I liked it plain and simple. I like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I just don't get Sanjay and Craig. Tried to watch it, Sanjay and Craig, because it's this guy from India and his snake, Craig. They have some, Sanjay and Craig, great adventures. I'm still into the Roadrunner and Elmer Fudd, Betty Boop. Listen, if you grow up, you're going to get some joy. You're going to have a heart to praise God. He'll give you a garment of praise. It's the requisite result of appreciating what he's done for you. I want to praise him. I couldn't wait to get to church primarily to worship God with the saints. I wanted to be there. When I became a Christian, I wanted to be in God's house, and I didn't want to just be entertained by the choir. I wanted to worship. I had a heart to worship. Don't just put on a show for me. I want to worship. I like great choir singing, but I used to like Nancy Harmon. You know why I like Nancy Harmon? There's a black girl in her trying to get out too. Can you say, man, ain't no doubt about it. Nancy Harmon, get down. She worshiped. And what was so wonderful, her singers, you know, 20 singers that went with her and sang. That choir behind Nancy Harmon, when they got singing, they didn't sing to the congregation. They sung to the Lord. They shut their eyes, lost sight of the congregation, lifted up their hands. Some of them, you could see them going, blah, 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 blah. And you knew they were talking in tongues. Can you say amen? And the Spirit of the Lord began to move on that congregation. And soon that congregation was pulled into worship. Because worship is not horizontal. Worship is vertical. It's for God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I remember reading years ago, and I tell this story over and over, but it's the perfect illustration as we work to a close this morning. They remade the movie, The Preacher's Wife. Denzel Washington was the angel. And, of course, he's not an angel. He just played the role. And who was the lady in there, the preacher's wife? Whitney Houston was the, and she had a background in gospel. Most soul singers didn't get that soul by just starting to sing soul. They were in church singing to the Most High God, and they learned how to sing from the heart, and they call it soul music because it's not just coming from the head. You don't have to go to a music school and graduate with high honors to belt out what Whitney belted out. Can you say, but you can get a hold of that. That's something that God gives to praise him back with. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He danced before the Lord with all unrestrained, unrestricted, unreserved joy and praise for God. Unreserved, unrestricted, hallelujah, praise unto God. His wife saw him dancing before the Lord, before the Ark of the Covenant, and she chided him. And she said, it's beneath your dignity. I am so ashamed to see the king cast off his royal robes and dance like a crazy man before the Ark of the Covenant. And David turned around to her and said, I shall even be more undignified than this. You shouldn't be nonchalant when the ark comes back to the temple. The highest praises should be given unto God. Can you say, man? How can you be nonchalant listening to messages about who you are in Christ and who He is in you and what He's done for you? How can you go Sunday after Sunday with a nonchalant attitude? Well, I got problems. Oh, honey, isn't there anything about God that can transcend you and your problems? Is there anything about God that's bigger, greater, worth more of your focus than you and your problem? One man said, I used to complain because I had no shoes until I met a man with no feet. Can you say, man? You'd be amazed at what is getting you down. And when you get in the presence of those who have a real reason to complain. Amen. You would, so many people would trade their troubles for yours. Their troubles for yours. Their troubles for yours. Their troubles for yours. The story is told of a man who came in the presence of the Lord. And he said, Lord, my cross is too heavy. He walked into this room and he said, my cross is too heavy. And Jesus said, then pick out another one. Because the room was full of crosses. Big ones, little ones, and in-between ones. And so he laid his cross down. And Jesus took him out of the room. And he said, let's go back in there. And this time, you pick the cross. Because everybody's got to take up their cross to follow. You pick the cross you want. He walked back in. Looking for what I used to look for when my dad used to say, go cut me a limb. I did not bring back a big switch. Come on, I picked up the most flimsy little thing I could find. If I'm going to get a whooping, I want it with a wet noodle. Can you say amen? I don't want it with no big stick. I mean, the whooping's coming. I can't get out of the whooping, but I give him a little switch. So it just tickles. Ha, 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 ha. That didn't hurt. Don't ever tell your daddy that didn't hurt. No, don't tell your daddy. Not if you had you're talking about that guy who used to play the fiddle? Oh, yeah, I'm talking about that guy that played the fiddle that was so meek and mild. Ha, ha, that didn't hurt. Oh, well, then, we can fix that. Can you say, man, we can fix that. So he goes back in what he thought was another room full of crosses. And he looks around and there's crosses that reach the ceiling and there's crosses halfway to the ceiling. But over in the corner, there's a cross that's about knee high. And he zeroes in. He forgets all the rest of them. And of course, he heads for the cross that's knee high, picks it up and says, I'll take this one. And the Lord smiles and said, that's the one you brought in. Because until you can see beyond yourself, your pressure and your problem is overwhelming. This true story from a missionary that went to actually minister to a leper colony. Now leprosy is controlled by, there's a drug that's been developed to counteract leprosy, but there was a time. Not too many years ago that leprosy just ate away human flesh and human beings. So he went as a missionary to preach salvation to those in the leper colony. And he said many of them had given their life to Christ. And he said they used to have requests for what songs would be sung on Sunday morning. And he said, a lady lifted up her hand that had no fingers on it because the leprosy had ate away all the fingers off of her hand. She wanted to request a song. Said she looked up and her eyes were just full of joy and she had a big smile. But her nose had been eaten off her face. She had been disfigured permanently by the leprosy. So she held up this nub of a hand and she said, can we sing, count your many blessings? Count them one by one, and you will be amazed at what the Lord has done. And he said, it blew me away. He said, because I found myself complaining about so many mosquitoes. Amen? And here's this woman that really has something to complain about. And she's counting her blessings and has a praise for God. That is growing up in the Lord. When you grow up in God, you don't whine about what's wrong. You praise Him because of His promise to you to never leave you. He has said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. And that means through what you're going through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he didn't say if you go through the fire, because you're going through it. When you go through the fire, the flames will not kindle on you, because I am with you. And when you go through the waters, they shall not overflow you and drown you, because I am with you. Can you say amen? I am for you. I am with you. Amen. And I want you to put on the garment of praise for what stays down in your soul and mind all week long. The spirit of heaviness. And then I want to give you the garment of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. We had a joy focus today, didn't we? Did we talk about joy at all today in the service? Can you remember? I know I was all over the room doing backflips and handsprings, but hope you get something out of the service as well. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That we might be called the trees of righteousness. I'm not talking about the little sprouts in the potting soil. But the trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. When you get established in the faith, you're not soon shaken by circumstances. You bring Him your choice praises, no matter what you're going through, because His goodness and His mercy and grace and His sacrifice at the cross transcends your trouble. It's got to be transcendent of your trouble. The devil wants you keeping looking at your trouble, your pressure, and your pain instead of His goodness, His mercy, and His suffering for your sake. Can you say, man, get your eyes off yourself and get it on Him. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus is not just looking for your strength from Him. The strength will come, but not because you just want Him to zap you with supernatural strength. That's a mistake in the Pentecostal movement. You can't shout off your trouble until you can set your focus on Him. Amen. And keep it on Him long enough for Him to lift you up. Amen. I've seen people, a lady came down years ago when I first started pastoring. And she came down, we threw a wang dang doodle all night long. You white folk don't understand. See, I told you there was a black man inside of me. Not that kind of wang dang doodle. It was the good kind, sanctified. Amen? We had a time, Brother Taylor. We had a time in the Lord. People were coming for prayer because the waters were stirred. The anointing of God was flowing. And a lady came down the aisle. She said, Brother Venable, she began to pour it out. I couldn't hardly get her to quit talking about it long enough to pray about it. You ever try to pray for somebody that can't quit talking about it? They just can't hush. Because it's more important. God is not in the focus. That problem is now a giant. And there was no faith. There was only fear. And at some point, if you want to get a prayer answered, you got to move from fear to faith. You got to get in a position to receive the answer. And I'm trying to move her gently but firmly in that position. Ma'am, Is God, I begin to quiz her, is God still on the throne? Well, yes. Is Jesus still Lord of all? Yes. Is the devil defeated because of his shed blood at the cross? Yes. Then we can do business with God in spite of that trouble. But at some point, you're going to have to hush. I thought as a child, I spake. What did the children of Israel do when God told Moses, here comes an army set on their destruction. They are unarmed and God hadn't shown up yet. They'd already killed them, they assumed, because the only thing that stopped the army from getting them, they're up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army bent on their destruction. And that night, before the next morning, they camped when the sun, with their backs against the Red Sea, nowhere to go, no way out. And they could see the fires from thousands of soldiers that at daybreak are going to swoop down on them and close that gap between them, and they have no place to go. And Moses said, Lord, what shall we do? And God says, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, I've got a rod. And while he's giving him those instructions, crucial to their deliverance, to deliver them from destruction, what are the people doing? What are we going to do? Why did he bring us out here to die? We're all going to die. We're going to die. That is a normal human reaction to that kind of trouble. At some point, we've got to go beyond human emotion. At some point, you've got to graduate from being just flesh and blood. God won't do it until something occurs. They don't have to talk faith at first. But they have to quit talking fear. They have to do what Moses told them to do that God told him to tell them to do. He said, tell the people to hold their peace. God is not going to deliver you while you are crying out in unbelief and fear. He didn't deliver them. Can I put it in plain language? Moses, tell them to shut up. What does hold your peace mean? If you're talking doubt and unbelief, it means to shut up. You want God to get down in that hole with you and worry with you, and he wants you to quit talking doubt and fear and unbelief in the presence of a holy God that's giving you personal promises. Because if you're going to talk that talk, you're going to walk that walk. And you ain't going to have no garment of praise. And there's nothing. Xanax won't do it. Zoloft won't do it. Can you say amen? Amen. This mood, this chemical to raise your mood will not handle it. Come on, that upper won't do it. That downer won't do it. Only God can do it. Amen. And he won't do it until we start not just walking right, but talking right. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. By thy words, thou shalt be justified in the presence of God. Or by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I couldn't get her. I didn't want to be rude and tell her to shut up, but I wanted her to quit telling me how bad it was to the exclusion of how good God is and how great God is. I got to hurry and finish. Are you getting something out of this today? Do you know what part of crucifying the flesh is bridling your tongue? Let me tell you something about your tongue. Your old unregenerated flesh. Tell you something about that. The Bible said that it's deadly. You can speak death to others. You can speak death to your own spirit. It's an unruly member. It's an unruly evil. It is why? Because the abundance of the heart. And what is it about the unregenerate heart and the unrenewed mind? The heart of man is desperately wicked among all things and deceitful. Who can know it? Well, see, right here in this service today, are you finding out that God actually knows your heart? He don't know what you're telling others or how you're fooling yourself. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. What if we had a replay of all that we talked about this week? And God said, put it on that thing. I got a disc here with everything Robert A. said this week. I got a disc here with everything Mike spoke this week. I got every complaint and every praise right here on this disc. And you're going to hear both sides of Mike today. You're going to hear him complaining about his lot in life, or you're going to hear him praising me about his salvation and my goodness and my mercy. But we're going to play it in just a few minutes. I'd stay for it. But Mike wouldn't. He said, now we're getting real. Come on, we're getting real now. Come on, we're getting down to the nitty gritty right here and right now. Well, God hears it every single day and every single moment. And he wants to fix it. God is a fix-it man. He said, I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. That you might be called the planting of the Lord, the trees of righteousness. These are not little plants that a few insects can kill. This is something that is standing and weathering the storms of life because we're established by God himself. Can you say amen? And here, listen how the talking changes. We got 5 minutes and I'm only 30 minutes overtime. Listen to this very carefully. I'm going to try to keep it at 30 minutes overtime. Oh, how we need teaching in God's house, not just good preaching. Hallelujah. We need to learn something about ourselves and about our God and about how to please him and how to get an answer and how to overcome our flesh so we can overcome the devil, our enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell the people to hold their peace. And Moses said, stop it! Quiet! Your desperate cries are not moving God! And then God gets the blame when things don't happen and we take no responsibility. The tongue is an unruly evil. That's why when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the first evidence of being filled is God takes control with your consent of that unruly member. And they spake in tongues as who gave the utterance? As the Spirit gave the utterance. Did you ever start to pray and the Holy Ghost take over? You might have started praying in desperation, but when he prays, you might have started praying in doubt, but when he prays, can you say, man, you started praying in fear and trepidation, but when he prays, you can feel him rising up And you can sense the greatness of God. Hallelujah. And your problem in the greatness of God and your pressure in light of the greatness of God, the mountain that stands before you at that moment before God even moves it or acts on it. But in your heart at that moment, at that very crucial moment, praying in the hope, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not just speaking in an unknown tongue. It's speaking properly because this tongue is bridled. The Bible said it's set on fire of hell. Howbeit, no man can tame it. Only one that can do that. It's when you surrender to His Lordship and you get the Spirit of God's leadership. So this lady's down for prayer. Whatever you ask in faith, believing, if two of you work on earth shall agree. There's no agreement between she and I. She brought no faith. She brought only fear. I wanted to talk about God. She wanted to talk about her problem. If you get God in focus, it don't matter what the problem is. But if you never get God in focus, that little problem thinks it's a giant because you see it as a giant. And that little problem will push you around. I heard the story of an ant and an elephant in Africa. The elephant's walking along and the little ant's crawling along. And they come to one of those bridges across a chasm. The elephant don't know if it'll hold him. The ant's right there by the elephant. Elephant says, well, here we go. He hits that bridge and the wood creaks and the ropes, you know, those swinging bridges. The old bridge starting to sway under the weight of the elephant. The elephant, you know how they walk anyway. You know, he got that bridge going like this and that ant's going like this and like that. Ant's making every step of the elephant, running to keep up with him. They get to the other side. Elephant steps off and sighs. And the ant steps off and sighs. Looks up at the elephant and says, didn't we shake that bridge? Yeah, that ant was full of faith, wasn't he? He said, I'm bigger than I look, and I'm way more than I look like. Don't you mess with me. Look what I shook that bridge. Hallelujah. God wants to bring our faith up. God wants to bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. But He's got to grow us up to bring it up. Building your faith is maturing in God, not just getting more ability to believe. It's growing up in God. Amen. To where you, when I was a child, I what? Thought. Getting rid of stinking thinking. Casting down where? Imaginations. And every high thing, that worry, that fear that we entertain, that we allow to sit in that place where only God is supposed to be. Amen. Losing to the devil by default, by defraud. The weapons, though we're in the flesh, we're still in this human body. We are not of the flesh. And we war not after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Haluma shandaraba kitana shalabarita tadaraba hosandaraba. And where is the stronghold? Is it over your household? No, 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 no. No, is it over the city? No. Is it somewhere up in the heavens? No. It's a lot closer to home than your house or your city or the moon and stars that you walk out under at night. Do you want to have it identified biblically? You want to get specific today. Though we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Everybody touch it right here. Touch it right. To the pulling down of strongholds. casting down imaginations. Where is that occurring? Up in the heavenlies? Over your house? No, it's right in your head. In your head. The unrenewed mind still thinks according to the flesh. Everybody say my head. Casting down what? And what happens when faith is not reigning in our thought life and in our spirit? We imagine every calamity, every kind of chaos. We see ourselves as ants without elephants by our side. We see defeat. We're filled with anxiety. We can't even pray in faith. We can't commit anything to Him. We carry it. And our body bows under it. Our mind bows under it. And our spirit is no longer filled with joy. And our heart doesn't know any peace. Casting down what? Every imaginations, plural, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you know how Paul finishes up? Because I'm going to tell you something. What you're thinking is what you're becoming. As a man thinketh in his heart. Now, we're not talking about this heart now. We're talking about the mind right here. Right in that scripture. There's a different use of heart. Sometimes it's mind. Sometimes it's your spirit. This is your mind. As a man thinketh in his mind, so is he. Amen. I got to give this illustration. We got to hurry, but listen, we're at a crucial time. We're getting buckets of the word poured on us Sunday after Sunday. There needs to be a change. There needs to be something occurring. There needs to be some fruit. Can you say, man? There needs to be a change in the atmosphere. There needs to be a change in the attitude. There needs to be a change in the heart and in the words. Hallelujah. So God is loose, amen, to answer our prayers and come through. The change has got to come. We can't keep sitting under buckets of the word without a change. We can't keep entertaining these imaginations. We have to cast them down. And all these thoughts that run amok, we have to bring them. I can see a cowboy jumping off his horse onto a young steer, grabbing him by the horns and wrestle him to the ground. Can you say, man? It's what Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, God didn't give you that spirit that's on you right now, the spirit of fear that's in you, in your spirit. But He gave you the spirit of power, and He gave you the spirit of love, and He gave you the spirit of a sound mind. And that word sound doesn't mean healthy. It means disciplined. It means a mind that your spirit can direct and tell what to think. And when it ain't thinking right, you wrestle that thought to the ground and say, that didn't come from God and I don't receive it. I will say of the Lord. You got anything to say about God in the face of a lying devil? I will say of the Lord. He is my God, my refuge. In Him will I trust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Words matter because heart atmospheres and attitudes matter. So we prayed, and I in my heart said, Lord, help this woman get past herself long enough for You to help her with her need. Because if she don't get past herself and focus on You, there's no help for her. I don't have strong enough anointing. Help her. And the Spirit of God came on her, and she shouted from one end of that church to the other, and we just stayed in the presence of God so she could get free. And she shouted and she danced and she laughed and she cried. And I thought, victory in Jesus. It's worth the sweat. It's worth the investment of God's word. It's worth leaving Tampa Electric and a good cushion job to go be a pastor and try to get people set free. This is what I love to see. I'm standing at the back door. She's coming with all people. Boy, we had a good one tonight, didn't we? Yes, we did. She comes up. Every bit of it is gone. It's like it never happened. Because she didn't know any more when she left than she did when she come in. She didn't know how to mark her words. She didn't know how to keep her heart. The Bible said you keep your heart with all diligence. Because out of it are the issues of life. Can you say, man, out of your belly, your renewed spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Springing up unto everlasting life. Praise God. Praise God. Are you getting something? Come on, folks. We got to get a hold of this thing. You can't just go be the same old you and fall for the same tricks of the devil and give in to the flesh this week. And come back next week and think we can go somewhere. We can't go nowhere till we get this fixed. Come on, we got to get it fixed. We got to get it worked on. And God is a fix-it man. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, He's a master mechanic. Woo! But we got to get down before Him and say, Lord, I don't want to think like that anymore. Actually, David said, put a watch. Set a watch over my mouth. Put a watch over my tongue. Your dedication to religion without a discipline of your own self. If a man bridle not his tongue, turn it in the right direction, make it say the right thing, his religion is all in vain. Because it's like a rudder on a ship. And that big old cruise liner has got a rudder. Then the rudder in relation to the size and tonnage of that ship looks insignificant. But that little rudder down in that water, when you turn it, that whole ship is turned by something that you can't even hardly see and give credit to. Oh, yeah, there's somebody up in the wheel helm that is turning a big wheel, but it's turning a little rudder. And that whole ship is being turned by the rudder. Can you say, man, and the tongue is a rudder. Hallelujah. If you don't like the stormy sea you're sailing in, why don't you head it toward God's haven of rest and peace? That doesn't mean the absence of trouble. It means the presence of God, no matter what the problem is, bringing you peace. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to Hallelujah. Glory to God.